Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for being our Father, providing for all of our needs, looking after us, giving us this house of worship filled with your people, Lord. I ask that you would open our hearts to receive this message, that you would give me the message to speak, Lord, that my words would not be from me, but from you. This is my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Leading up to the crucifixion of Jesus, he had one desire. He says, I have desired to do this Passover meal with you for some time now, speaking to his disciples. He was anticipating this final moment, the final moments of his life, for some time. But he knew full well that his disciples didn't know what he was talking about. It says in John chapter 13, verse 1, Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come and that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loves them to the very end. The sermon title I have for today is Humility and Pride. Humility and Pride. I'm always amazed, and I say this all the time, our Sabbath school class and our sermon, once again, lined up perfectly by the hand of God. Humility and pride. Jesus had walked with his disciples for 3.5 years. He had spent every waking moment with them, teaching them, instructing them, letting them into his life. They had the pleasure of hearing his words personally. And as time would go on, they were growing. His disciples were growing. They were learning more. They were discovering more about who he was and about what his mission on earth was. But as his final hours came, as the days were coming to a close after 3.5 years, sometime in the spring of 31 AD, Jesus knew he was going to die, looked over to his disciples, and thought to himself, you know, I just don't think they're ready yet. I just don't think they're ready yet. He had asked his disciples for some time leading up to this Passover meal to enter into the city to look for a man carrying a bucket of water and to ask him where they might prepare for this Passover meal. It had happened all according to the way he said it would. And so they went and they prepared the Passover in the upper room so that when the day came, Jesus and his disciples would have a special place for them to have this meal, this ordinance. But it's interesting as you look at what the disciples were doing leading up to the situation, all is not well in God's inner circle, in Jesus' inner circle. All is not well. There had been an interesting request proposed by some of the disciples and their mother. We have to read the other Gospels to get the full picture of this, but leading up to this event, two of his disciples had asked their mother, would you please go speak to Jesus and ask and make a request for us? Please, can you do this for us, Mom? She says, yeah, I could do that. What would you like me to ask him? Well, you see, we think that we deserve the right to be able to sit on the left and the right hand of Jesus. So I just would like you to ask him for us that we could sit there. So she goes and she asks Jesus, she says, Jesus, I just have something. I know you're busy, I don't want to step on your toes. I don't want to make anything too out of place here, Jesus, but I just wanted to make a simple request from you. If you would just grant this one thing for me, Jesus. I know you're very busy. Please, it's just one thing. Jesus, you see, I have these two sons, and they're very good sons, and I was just hoping by some chance, Lord, that you would let them sit on your left hand and on your right hand. The other disciples, hearing this message, they're taken by surprise. How could they? How could they get their mother to make such a request? Don't they know that Judas is sitting right there next to Jesus? How could they do such a thing? What about Peter? What about John? You guys don't have the right to ask that. Jesus looks over and he says, are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'll be baptized with? Oh, yes, yes, Lord, we are able. Yes, most definitely. I knew you'd say that. Well, you know, it's not actually up to me. It's not actually up to me. You see, my Father in heaven will be the one who decides who sits on my left and on my right. The other disciples, hearing this, started to bubble inside, you know, that started to foam inside, thinking, how could they? Harboring these attitudes of, I'm the greatest, I should sit on the left and I should sit on the right. The days go on and they find themselves in another home, having another meal. Before the Passover, leading up to it, they're at Judas's house. Simon, his father's house. And they're sitting around the table. They've had a nice meal and they're chit-chatting and they're listening to the words of Jesus. And all of a sudden, there's this aroma. There's this smell that they can't figure out where it's coming from. And then they look over and they see, oh, who let this woman in here? Who let this woman, this riffraff lady come in, this sinner, into the presence? Don't they know that this is the King? Don't they know that this is Jesus, the Christ? Get her out of here. She had spent her whole year's wage buying a costly perfume, a flask of oil that she was anointing the Savior for the goodness from her heart, the thank you that she had for him, for healing her from all these problems, for forgiving her sins. She just wanted to show her gratitude. But there was amongst the disciples, and one in particular, harboring some thoughts of jealousy, thinking, How dare you spend this kind of money? You should have given it to the poor. You should have looked after the needs of those who are hungry. How dare you? And so he made a public example of this lady in front of all the disciples. But Jesus wouldn't have it that way. You know, Jesus knows what's going on in their hearts. He can already see through this. He knows that Judas has no care for the poor. He knows that Judas isn't really worried about Jesus's well-being. It's really just to make himself look better. So Jesus says to him, leave her alone. How dare you? How dare you? She's preparing me for my burial. She's anointing me for what I'm about to go through. How dare you, Judas? As they look at each other and they see what Jesus, how Jesus reacted towards this situation, Judas looks around, he says, I can't let him make a fool out of me. I can't let this go on. And from that point forward, Judas decided that he was going to get back at Jesus. He was going to make it right. He was going to get his revenge. He was going to force Jesus to act the way that he should, like a king that he really is. So he decided to sell out his Savior. You know, Jesus, going forward to the Passover meal, saw all these things taking place, and he's about to be crucified and taken away from them. Are they even ready to give the gospel to the world when this is going on? I don't think so. Judas is out there. These guys are asking to be first. Peter's deluded. Jesus is saying to them, I've desired for a long time to have this meal with you, my final supper, our last supper together. And as he had asked them to prepare this meal, they're sitting in the room and they think everything's perfectly fine. Except for there was one little detail in this supper that was overlooked. One detail. The disciples all knew what it was, but they didn't want to speak up because they just, you know, okay, it's just one minor detail. That detail that I'm talking about was the fact that they're all wearing their shoes inside this nice room. They had their dirty feet walking all over their nice carpets. They had brought their mud, tracked their mud into the house. But that's okay. We'll just overlook this particular instance. It's not the first time we've worn shoes in the house. Jesus, looking around, seeing which one of them would notice the situation at hand, realizes that they're all trying to cover it up. And instead of trying to deal with the actual issue, they're saying, oh, I want to sit here. No, I should sit there. It's my turn. You guys got to sit next to him last time. He could read their hearts. He knows they're not ready. And before everything is about to be over, before he's about to be taken away, he realizes this is the opportunity that I need to teach my disciples the last lesson before I'm taken away from them. This is the final lesson that I have to show them. And so if you read with me in John chapter 13, Jesus says, as it goes on in verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. He wasn't going to let this go on any longer. He was going to address the situation. He was going to show them what the kingdom is all about. He girded himself with the towel, and after that he poured the water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. He began to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Jesus had decided that they had lost their opportunity and that he had to show them once and for all what it truly is like to follow him. He takes the towel, he takes the basin, and he goes immediately to the person who's about to betray him, Judas, sitting on his left hand. And he begins to bend down under him as a servant and wash his feet, taking the opportunity to clean him, giving Judas the opportunity to respond to this meekness, this humbleness, this quiet atmosphere. Judas, if you would just soften your heart, if you would just let go of whatever your dream is for me, just let go. I have it under control. But Judas wouldn't. Judas, looking at his Savior at his feet, washing his feet, is repulsed. How dare you, Jesus? How dare you? You're the king. How could you be the king and be washing people's feet? How dare you? Jesus finishes with him. He goes on to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And he washes each of their feet until he gets to Peter. He came to Simon Peter, but Peter, much like Judas, seeing the situation, is not happy. Seeing his master stoop down doing the task of a servant, he comes to Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet? How could you? Aren't you going to be the ruler of Israel, but you're going around washing people's feet? How dare you? Are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Peter, what I'm doing right now, you do not understand. But you will know afterwards. You'll know after this what I'm doing." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet, Jesus. You shall never wash my feet." Jesus, realizing that he doesn't get it, says to him, no, Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part in me." Peter then begins to clue in, oh, he's not just washing my feet. This is one of those times where there's a spiritual application. I should be listening, right? Jesus, what is it? What is this spiritual application? Why don't you just wash all of me? Why don't you wash my head and my hands? Wash my whole body, not just my feet. I need to be clean all over. Make me clean. Jesus knows Peter too well. He knows his enthusiasm. He knows that Peter didn't quite get the message. He says, no, Peter. He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And this is where it comes in. And you are clean, but not all of you. That was referring to Judas. You see, all of the disciples at some time had taken a baptism. They had been dipped in the river, the water, and they had put their old life behind them. They had allowed themselves to be followers of Christ. They had left the nets, their old way of life. And likewise, many of us, we had left the old life behind us. We had maybe left the bottle, or we'd left some friends, or maybe we left a relationship behind that wasn't glorifying God in some way. Perhaps we left something that we used to eat off our plate. You know, whatever it is that we left behind for Jesus' sake. When we were washed, he washed us. He made us clean. He gave us that righteousness. But as we go apart and we live our daily lives, Ellen White describes it in this manner. Just like the lily comes out of the mud in a pond, though there may be lots of really gross things in the pond, the lily is a beautiful flower that rises up out of the mud. Sometimes we get dirty in life, even though we've consecrated our lives to Jesus. We get back home and the old routines come back, and we get a little dirty. Our feet get dirty again. So Jesus needs to wash our feet. Well, Jesus is in heaven right now, so he asked us to do it for ourselves, to wash one another's feet. That way we could be made clean again. We could have a renewing of our Christian spirit. We could have a new miniature baptism. Judas, realizing that Jesus had fully intended to humble himself and to show them who he was through this humble experience, had decided that this Savior of his, signs or no signs, could not truly be the Messiah. He couldn't truly be the Messiah. If he was the Messiah, he wouldn't stoop down to do this. And so Judas leaves and goes to sell out his master. Jesus, after he had washed their feet and taken his garments, he sat down again and said to them, my disciples, do you know what it is that I've done to you? Do you know what it is that I've done for you? You call me teacher and you call me Lord and you say, well, because I am your teacher and I am your Lord. The words of Jesus. However, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. He had given them an example to live. Humility or pride, Judas leaving in fury and anger to betray his master, or the disciples looking around and saying, wow, I never thought that my desire to be sitting on his left side or his right side would actually make this big of a deal. I was just trying to do the best thing. I thought that we deserved it. You know, we wanted to sit next to Jesus. I thought that was a good thing. I didn't realize those words that I said to that woman when she was pouring out that oil were so hurtful. I didn't realize what I said had hurt her so badly. Well, they did. You know, that look that you gave that person when you walked by them, you didn't say hello, or those harsh words that you said, and believe you me, I have my own problem in this area. I'm not speaking to you as if I don't know this. I know this personally. I struggle with harsh words. I struggle with a quick temper. Jesus needs to wash us again. But as we stoop down to serve one another, realizing that Jesus is not physically here with us at this moment, he says, whatever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You've done it unto me. We are serving Jesus by serving one another. We're humbling our hearts. We're bringing nothing to salvation, but we're accepting everything. Jesus has given us the perfect example. And today, as we do our communion service, before we do it, and most of us know this, I'm sure if not all of us know this, that we do the foot washing service here. And the reason we do it is for exactly that, as a humbling experience. When I first became a Christian, to me it was gross. Are you kidding? You're going to touch my feet? I'm going to touch your feet? That's disgusting. How could you do that? Give me some gloves or something. It's silly, right? I had never had somebody wash my feet. But what happened at that time, I didn't fully understand. Now I'm beginning to understand. Jesus wants us to humble ourselves to one another. He wants us to prefer someone else in a higher position than where we are. Give them the right of way. Don't say those nasty words, you know. Make them kind words. Be humble. When somebody hits you on the left side, turn and give them the right side. It's a very difficult concept. But Jesus is having to teach us once again. And so, praise the Lord. After he had washed their feet, their hearts were set in tune with God again, and they were able to receive the communion. And that's what we will be doing today. Friends, we practice an open communion, which means that anyone who has taken the name of Jesus as their Savior is open and free to receive this communion today. And as we go downstairs to wash one another's feet, perhaps you're not comfortable with this experience. You're like me when I didn't know, or perhaps I just didn't want to. I didn't want to experience this. I understand. Don't put yourself, maybe just look at it, watch, say, interesting, you know, it's interesting. I'm not ready for that yet. I'm not ready for that. Come and watch. But if you're not ready to do that, as we go downstairs and we wash one another's feet, if you're not ready, you can remain here in the sanctuary. Perhaps we might have some nice music. And then once we're all done, we'll take part in the communion service. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our loving Lord, what a humiliating thing that you have done by washing the feet of your disciples. Lord, we thank you for teaching us that a humble heart, the heart of a child, is what we need to enter your kingdom. Help us to put away our bad words. Help us to smile more and just let the other person be, trying not to change them or trying not to make them, force them into a shape, Lord, that they're not. Lord, humble our hearts and be with us in this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.